Yeah.
Yeehaw. Okay, call our meeting back to order. Next on our agenda is IDA update, and Bob's gone after Ron, so just some conversation here while we're idling is, and we did well today, we're right on time. Whenever I had a citizen mention, when we go into executive session, that we need, how was it they put that? The problem is they wait for us to come back in to regular session and have no idea what time or something to that effect. So anyway, that's something we might keep in the back of our minds as we do our meetings, that don't get carried up and leave people out there waiting for
Ron,
an hour
come
or two.
Up to the, come up and sit by one of these.
Mr. Zimmerman, how are you, sir?
Fine, sir. How are you all?
Good. All right, Ron, floor is yours. Got us an update.
Thank you, gentlemen. I had a meeting this morning with Tom Ryan, Mike Zimmerman, and the mayor of Forsyth, Ron Potter, regarding Tiger II funding. And I thought, as either part of this report or the entire report, that you all might be interested in having an update as to what the city of Forsyth is doing with one of the projects that we're involved within, which is Highway 160, and the widening of that through Forsyth and two or three of the intersections that are involved. And with your permission, I would ask Mike and Tom to deliver that report and give you an update of what we are doing, a little bit of discussion about Tiger II, where that stands, what monies are available, and the fact that we are intending, through the city of Forsyth and the county, as one of the possible alternatives, to seek some of those funds for the project that we know as the Highway 160 corridor. So with your permission, I would do that and let them come up and chat about that and perhaps answer some of the questions that you all have about the Tiger II funding.
My one thought, Ron, is, and Bob, help us, I would suggest that we be careful that it's cut, that it is update, since it's a particular issue, that we don't get off into something that we're, because we're not posted for that.
Correct.
Just keep that in the back of your mind, I guess.
Correct. And
we'll come on up.
We'll try to keep it within the parameters of the IDA report and that it is one of our projects and that this is just one of the alternative sources of funding.
So I'm going to let Tom.
Okay.
I'm just going to hand out stuff.
Before Tom speaks, Ron, have you all visited at the council on this yet?
Not yet.
Just barely getting started, so to speak.
Right. I've discussed it with some of the board members.
Okay. Thanks. Good.
Can you just put that page on brief on biosolids?
We'll do that after another project.
Okay.
What you have before you is just kind of a summary of everything that they're looking at, the Tiger II funds. It kind of gives you a real quick understanding. This just came out in late April. The mayor of Forsyth sent an email saying, could this be a potential part of a funding package to be able to do the 160 project? We did meet with a lot of the cities and the counties along the corridors, met with some of the residents along the corridors. This map that you see before you was the same map that we showed there. So this is just an update of what it is with the potential of looking at the Tiger Fund as maybe one of those potential funding solutions. One of the things about Tiger II that makes it a little bit different than Tiger I, and as you were aware of, Tiger I had $1.5 billion, had about $60 billion worth of requests. So for every dollar available, they had $40 worth of requests, 1,400 requests. This one here has a very interesting thing in it, that it sets aside $140 million for rural-type projects. What that does is allow the rural communities to be more competitive in this process instead of being thrown in with all of them. So there's $140 million set aside for that. Also, it allows that to be 100% funded, those rural projects, and allows projects to be as low as $1 million. The 160 project is when we talked about this previously, we talked about several different types of funding that could possibly be available to do this work. This is just another one of those options that we can consider looking at. It's just for consideration right now. The mayor asked us to kind of look at it. We're willing to work with the city of Forsyth and Taney County on this proposal if we move forward from that. It does allow a couple of different things that I think we've already have in place that are very prevalent here. We have a lot of the cities along the corridor that's very supportive of this. They see the value that it brings to their community and working along that corridor and making improvements along that corridor. MoDOT has identified this as being a very important corridor for them to do. So we've got those there. We've also talked with the school districts, the emergency response crews and things like this here. They see the value of this corridor too. 160 runs from all across Taney County. It provides probably one of the best access from people moving from eastern Taney County to western Taney County. Another one of the attractive things that you look at looking at this corridor here is the recent growth in the Branson area, and it is more predominant to the north and access to health care facilities, shopping, and things like that. This corridor adds a lot of value to people from eastern Taney County being able to go over towards the Branson area. At the same time, it also provides a very good road to have people that live in eastern Taney County to move from there to go to work over in the Branson area or maybe even up to Springfield if they still work in Springfield or other areas like this. It provides them a good access back and forth to work. So those are some of the things that we see that makes this a very good rural-type project and could be competitive with that, The mayor asked us to look at that and says what kind of chances are, because we don't want to disappoint people going after something that they can't be really competitive with. But with this being dedicated rural, I think the opportunities are better there for this. Within this, it talks about some of the selection processes. One of the things it talks about, is this an improvement to the corridor? It would be a very big improvement to the corridor. Talks about the economic competitiveness. I think a lot of people living in the eastern part of Taney County come to shop and work and do other things here in Forsyth. It's become kind of an area for people to come and be able to go shopping and not have to go over into the Branson area to do the shopping. So there's some economic, and also it provides great access to Lake Tanacoma and Lake Bull Shoals. So there are opportunities there for increasing the economic of this community by this improvement. Livability, Forsyth and eastern Taney County provides a very livable community, and I think it provides better access into that. Sustainability, I think we're addressing where the heavy congestion is along that corridor, F and at Y and at 76, and where there is a lot of business activity along the 160 corridor through the main part of Forsyth. So if you start addressing that, then this project can be expanded to cover the other areas along 160 to eventually do this project across the county and not just in a focus area like we're looking at here. Safety, I think anyone that drives this road knows that anything you probably do to that is going to add to the safety of the roadway. So I think that's very good. Job creations and economic stimulus, I think has some very good potentials to do that to help strengthen the eastern side of the county and also connect the eastern and western sides of the county together, because I think the county needs to work as a whole, because it's very important to be able to move people from one end to the other end of the county. Partnerships, if those that attended that meeting, we had a very good mix of people there. We had people from the state representative. We had people from the U.S. Representative Office. We had people, residents. We had people from the school district and other locations. And all of them saw the value in this project here. So we just wanted to throw this out to you that this opportunity is there, why it is an opportunity, and just for your consideration to think about. If you do have any questions, Mike or myself are available for those questions. Just get a hold of us, and we'd be more than happy to visit with you on any issues that you might have on that.
We have one expert, Kevin Creedy, who will be setting up a conference call in the near future, doing a little bit more investigation, reviewing the application. The pre-application is due July the 16th, and the final one is due August 13th. We'll be back with you all talking more in more details. This is more like just a heads-up that this potential does exist, and we're going to explore it and then come back and present it, and you guys can say if you want to participate or not.
One of the things that, you know, it is a $7 million project, mm-hmm. but one of the things that we can do, and we've talked about this as we visited with MoDOT and other people, is that it does provide the ability to break it up in components. So if you can't do all of it, you can do part of it, and then you can get the next part when the next thing comes down. So that does really help probably that you're not, you know, you can go in there saying we'd like $7 million if it's available, but if not, we could take $2-3 million and be able to do this and this here. So we want to make sure of that.
Intersections and things like that.
Yes.
You want to talk about the NEPA?
One of the things that there's a couple things nationally that we've found out, you know, talking about the Tiger II. One of those being that NEPA, which is the National Environmental Protection Agency, they do oversee projects. And they want to make sure that you can go through that process or have that process well in way. One of the challenges that we'll have is down at 160 and 76. We'll be working with core property down there, and you're probably well familiar with regulations and everything. We may have to look at pulling that particular intersection out initially because it may take us a little longer to work through those processes. So that's we've already looked at from the NEPA standpoint that may be a challenge, but we would look at that. As Mike said, we do have a person in our Kansas City office that has developed a lot of these types of grants, did the Tiger I grants, major Tiger I grants across the United States, that is willing to support us in this year, and will be working with us on that. So this project has a lot of little things to it. You don't have to build it all, but if we can get some money and get it started, get it on the way there, and maybe get some of the next part designed so that it's ready if there is other grants and things that come out and be ready for it. So we can tackle this. This is how do you eat an elephant one piece at a time. So we really have to look at this and make it more where it can be something that can be done by the community.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a couple questions?
Please.
This is a state road.
Yes, it is.
MoDOT has to have the blessing of any modifications.
Yes.
Is MoDOT involved, or will they be involved in this process? And then the subsequent question is, there was an earmark for this section of the road that can't be spent in time, that Emerson had called me about. What I would point out is make sure we obviously talk to MoDOT, have them in our court, and then be able to address the earmark that wasn't able to.
We have been dealing with MoDOT. MoDOT we did submit a proposal to U.S. Representative Emerson's office. They were very involved with that. They attended the public hearing meeting here. They're very supportive of this. This project has surfaced to one of their major needs here in Taney County. It's something that we keep in touch with them. To give you my background, I spent 28 and a half years with MoDOT before retiring from them, so I know that I've got to get them on board and make sure that they're aware of this here. We have not directly talked to them about the Tiger II. We wanted basically to meet with the mayor and make sure the mayor felt comfortable with what we were doing before we approached them. We will do that as our next step. And the grant that you're talking about, I'm well aware of that, and I know that MoDOT wants to make sure that that funding could be spent in her current district, and that's what they are looking for that. And they're very excited about trying to do this because they could use that money here too.
Right. So is this one of those that you all kind of stick your necks out and do the work hoping or would there be cost involved in writing the grant like we did on the Tiger one?
If we think you have a reasonable chance, we want to help you out. You know, there's ways that we can help communities out, and we can write these grants for you. And we do that with the hopes that, you know, that we get the next step when the design and construction gets involved with it. We feel like that's the best way we can help you as a community here, and we love doing business down here in Forsyth and Taney County, and this is our way of giving back to you.
Is this one of those that it's 100% or can be 100%? Is it one of those that if you kick in 10% or something yourself, you're going to have a lot better chance?
And that's really what we're trying to look at this right now. We're just in the beginning conversations with this. Yes, your chances does increase if there's funding, there's a match fund with it.
Right.
But it can be 100%. Now, we could structure it such that if we could get $2 million, there would be no match, but if we got more, then we could match it or something like that there to try to enhance our competitiveness with all the other projects that will be submitted for it.
We talked about that this morning. Would there be a set percentage that would greatly enhance our chances, and if we went above that, would it make any difference or not? So we're going to,
kicking that around. Mm-hmm.
We're kicking that around to find out what the right mix would be.
And really, we just wanted to come and see, get kind of your initial thoughts on this, and if there's something that, you want us to look at or things like this. But we will start looking at that more formally here in the next few weeks to try to start getting this. The preliminaries have to be done by July 16th, and the final would be in August 23rd. So it would be something that will move very fastly, very quickly, and so we need to make sure that we get these things before everybody and make sure that everybody feels comfortable with the approach that we take.
Other questions? Comments?
Sounds very good. It's something that's much needed, and any transportation dollars brought into Taney County are nothing but plus, so... you're going to find my total support in this project.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Biosolid?
Let me say first that regarding this project, I had received an email from Mayor Potter asking if this would fit within the criteria of Tiger 2, this being the Highway 160 project. I contacted HDR and ask them if they would in fact do the work that they've done and bring us up to speed, if you will, on whether or not it did fit, and it appears that it does. And that $140 million, as a follow-up to their answer to your question, Chuck, all $140 million of that can be at 100%. However, what they're going to find out is if the pot is sweetened, does it give us a better opportunity? I asked Mike to sit up, too, because one of the other projects he and I have been directly involved in is the Class A biosolids. And do you want to address where we're at? Or?
I'm going to let you convey your last meeting.
I met with the Clean Water Commission at their last meeting, which was May 5th in Jefferson City. Prior to the meeting, I sat with Joe Bolin, who's the finance director for the DNR CWC operations, if you will, and we had a great discussion regarding this particular project. He informed me that they are in the process of rewriting our app, if you will, that has been sent in regarding this project, because it was on a 60-40 form, which is really the only form, and that's basically what it is, that our application could go in on, because the verbal, I won't call it a commitment, but opportunity that we have with DNR is 50-50. That's what was pitched, that was what was agreed to, and they are reconstructing that application process for us. It's their intent to put that on the intended use plan and not within the contingency list any longer, but on the fundable list. And he was hopeful that we would see that within the next 3 weeks. Well, this has already been 1 week past, so hopefully within the next 2 weeks we should see some evidence of this project moving forward to the intended use plan, which is extremely positive. So everything, at least, that we've been working on, I feel is in a very good place. There will be a recommendation that comes forth from the staff to the Clean Water Commission if, in fact, it's on the intended use plan, that those monies be appropriated to Taney County in the amount of $3 million for this project.
I have one thing to add. They talked about the intended use plan. He talked about originally they planned to have it come out in the next two or three weeks. Now they're talking about it may not be out until June or July. So that's news. Now, one thing he did comment on, Mr. Boland, who was present at the original meeting that we had, he was very impressed, and it really helped him with his position by the commitment that you all made in that resolution. That he was blown away by it, and it enhanced our position greatly. So thank you all for that.
The 50-50 and the 60-40, is there's a change there? Is that to our benefit or making a difference?
The original application that we did was for the 40% grant. And Mr. Strafus wisely said, do we need to redo the grant application? Or is it going to be really 60-40 project? So I called them, and they said, this is the only grant application we really have at this time, and I'll get back with you if we want you guys to redo it. And since then, they've said, hey, the application you have is fine. We're going to internally move that documentation over to where the correct place it needs to be, because it is going to be 50-50. They do think now that they're hopeful that they'll get their EPA appropriation. It's late, but they do anticipate in getting that, and they were talking about taking using that EPA appropriation and using that to fund our grant.
Good.
When we say that it's late, that what they were waiting on was the budget approval federally, right. And that has happened. It's just that we've not received acknowledgement that those funds are forthcoming yet. That's just a procedural item.
Thank you. You're right.
Sounds good. Other questions on that?
Nope.
Good to go.
Keep it going. Fingers crossed.
Keep it rolling.
We're trying.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
Those are the two primary projects I've been working on of lesser significance, although not to the Fair Board members, is the opportunity to utilize potentially recovery zone bonds. Those individuals are out scouring the countryside looking for property. They're working with a couple of realtors who have already shown them one or two parcels of property, and they're continuing that process now to see if they can find something or options to bring back to the County Commission, and also what, in fact, they would like to build upon that property. So we're in the process there as well. I'm also working with Debbie Redford and Barbara Boley, who are, in fact, continuing to seek funds for other projects through their contacts and through departments and avenues that they have pursued in the past.
Those are mainly through the cities and rural areas?
The projects?
The projects you're talking about, are they through villages and cities?
Most are. Some are, however, county projects. One, for example, that I continue to pursue was the project of the Clevenger Cove Road through disaster supplemental funding, community development block grant. So that's one that just as yet has not been announced and may or may not be. My last discussion with Elizabeth Roberts with that department, they have been waiting now for months, and as yet still no word. So it's just a long process and one I continue to monitor. But overall, yes, most are rural projects and or a part of villages, fire districts, et cetera, that came forth from within the county.
Right.
One other, I had mentioned this, the county news, which is dated May 10th. There's two good articles in here about, one says counties encouraged to apply for Tiger Grant funding. It also speaks to the meeting that Commissioner Strafus went to, the RAC fly-in on priorities that are crucial to NACO's rural members. And I know you guys have that. But it mentions and lays out quite a bit of good information within. And I'll tell you, NACO has been one of my primary sources that continues to keep us updated. They continue to offer webinars on all types, actually, of county government, whether it be leadership or whether it be grant dollars that are available. And it's really a good source for counties to turn to.
Okay. Mayor, you got anything on IDA for us? Sounds like you're working away on things good.
Trying.
Come up to the mic here if you would.
I wasn't aware of the Fair Board going out looking at different areas. And we have that 76 acres up on Aremus. And maybe there's a way that the city and the county could work together and look at doing something there. I don't know what their intention is. It's gently rolling property, so I don't know if that's a good fit, but I'd be willing to talk.
Okay.
See if we could do something there, leverage the property.
I don't know if they've thought of that or not, but we can certainly get the word to them to have a look with, talk with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate everything you're doing to help out the city. I
appreciate what you're doing. Yeah.
The fair board, the park board, and the county have been looking at different areas, and of course, Jack Harris, our fair board chairman, has you might visit with him about that particular location for the park board, and the fair board has came in with a couple of different proposals for property, so they would be the contact people to work with.
Okay. I'm just thinking you'd have more money to put into the infrastructure if you didn't have to pay for the lands.
Right. Well, there's, I guess, according to the way the grants are set up and everything, that they have actually property and structure.
There's a USDA grant out there that we can buy a fairground for, specifically for fairgrounds and fairground structures.
Okay, cool.
So we're trying to maximize that, but I think that property at one time was in the discussion that I remember hearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they should be contacting you if they, I'm sure they will, because that's a big parcel. So.
Okay.
No problem purchasing it from the city of Forsyth.
Oh, I'm not adverse to that either.
Well, actually, you can't, because we did a community development block grant to put in the ball fields, and that has to be dedicated to parkland. So we could have a fairground as part of the park, but we have to retain ownership forever
The entire park or just the ball field?
It's pretty much the entire park except for 33 acres that we've set aside for an industrial park. But we couldn't sell it to you, but we can work with you. I hope that doesn't cause too much complexity.
Well, it just depends on the grant. I mean, the grant's pretty specific on what we can and can't do. So we'll just have to look at that when it's closed. So.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
I was just handed a note from Mr. Paulson saying that the outdoor festivities for
Joe?
Anyway, here, read that note.
Okay.
We have something at 11 o'clock.
Right.
So I didn't know if we didn't know that, but they want to use this.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, I did too.
I just was told that when I was upstairs.
So that's why he just handed that to me. So.
Okay.
We should be, we'll be quick, and we've only got two things left.
And I just want to make one other point. We talked about a couple of agreements, the homeless and the dog fee. It got on your calendar, but somehow it didn't get on the agenda, so.
It's not.
We can't take it.
Okay.
Okay, so all we have is one left.
So this is health. Okay.
Yeah.
Helen, you want to come up to the table with the mic?
This is the last thing on the agenda then because it's all we have posted. That's something exciting.
You want to, can you do a little send to let them know we'll be out of here in a few minutes?
Yep.
So they know we're good, or do they already think that? Or?
Well, I think I'll
executive upstairs since it's not going to be an open session anyway.
Yeah,
we tabled the executive.
Yeah, we're tabled.
I can wait till Monday.
We can do it upstairs anyway, Steve.
Whenever. I'll wait till Monday.
The floor is yours, ma'am.
Okay, hopefully this won't take very long. It's I received a call from Andy Marjay earlier this week and wanted to know what his and my emails had been back and forth about this check that Commissioner Pennell had written for the $12,315. And I decided at that time, since I've had this since March 29th, and the last thing that Andy had told me that he would like to, let's see if I can read the email. It would not be a bad idea to talk with the commissioners, Rick and Bob, to come to an agreement on this and whether it should be in the minutes, whether to accept this check or not, because I didn't really know where to put it. We couldn't put it back against the line it came out of, because then and when Aegis got their W-9 or whatever, it would show that they weren't paid that, so we couldn't put it back against that. I'm just curious as to what we need to do with this. It's not revenue. It's not a reimbursement.
And I've had coffee, and times of getting coffee, is it kind of like the, is it pretty much we don't should we just return it, reject it, because we're not set up to receive it?
Well, and it is my understanding that you guys, from listening to minutes, have approved another $11,000 paid to them that has not been paid to them.
Correct. It was credit. The credit, we used that credit and applied it to an invoice. So there is a deficit of
$12,315.
And the contract is still ongoing, and what they've invoiced in phase three, it's a lump sum contract. Once they've earned that, if it continues,
it'll reconcile itself.
Yeah, it will, and then if we have another check in there, it would be paid twice for the same thing, and that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
So then with all that, I move that we return that check number. What is the check number?
1499.
1499 back to the person who gave it to us.
Okay. And another thing is, you know, I'm sorry, you need a second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Another thing is, you know, putting it in a line. We have miscellaneous revenue lines, and we have all that, and we have contribution lines, but this isn't really what we consider revenue. And so I talked to the auditor about it, and then I talked to our outside auditor about it, and it was his recommendation that I just bring it to you guys.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
And all abstain. Motion carries.
And I do have one more thing. I have copies of Commissioner Pendleton asked me last week to do some research on a check that was written to Carol Davis November of last year, and I was not able to find the minutes, so in doing the research that I have done, take one of those and pass it on down, Danny. In doing the research that I have done, the payment request that you're receiving a copy of was my authorization to release that check to her. It was check number 317296, written November 30th. The minutes of that day when it was in the accounts payable, the minutes were made, the motion was made to hold that check. And in listening to minutes, and I listened to minutes later on that day, and from then till December 22nd when it actually cleared the account, I listened to all the minutes that were on there, because a lot of times when you guys are in a meeting, like a budget meeting or maybe a meeting upstairs or something like that, some of these things could be brought up again and voted on. So I listened to all of them other than just the Monday morning accounts payable meetings. And the document that you have in your hand is signed by the commissioner's office and the clerk's office, which means that it was approved to release to Carol. And I think that was the one you had in question, Chuck, when you emailed me last week.
The question I had was, when did we vote on it? We held it out mm-hmm. on whatever day it was. And when did it go? Because I couldn't find where
right.
it went back into accounts payable or
right.
where we voted.
And a lot of times they don't actually, you can choose to put them in the accounts payable for the next week. You can discuss them at another meeting later that day. Later on, as long as it's in a commission meeting, normally there would have been minutes. So far, like I said, I listened till 9 o'clock that night, Thursday night, whenever, after you'd sent me that email at home, to all the minutes that I could listen to. And looking through it and looking through the written minutes, and I do not find where in the minutes it was voted on. But like I said, this is my documentation where the commissioner's office and the clerk's office did approve that this check be. And it was sometime between November 30th and December 22nd, because that is when the check cleared my account. So like I said, I did listen to those minutes. But, you know, I go back to my statement. As far as I know, I have never released accounts payable checks without authorization from the commission, as was stated Monday morning.
But I'm sorry, I still haven't heard you say when we voted on it.
I don't know when you voted on it.
Okay,
I just
so
know
you didn't find where we voted.
I just know you did vote on it, because I would not have. When you vote to hold a check, let me show you what I've got here. When you vote like this one, I made a copy of this one. This is an Aegis Engineering check. When you vote to hold a check, there is no authorization on the bottom of the notice like these checks that I'm holding on Aegis. These are not signed. When you've had your meeting and you vote to release the check, then your office will stamp your name here and the clerk's office will stamp her name there. That means it has been voted on and the check is authorized to be released. And that is my authorization.
But my question still is, when did we vote on it?
I have no idea. I wasn't in the meetings.
And just as I released a check that we just have talked about, I don't see where we voted on it. And what we've said is that we should vote on it. That's
right.
What you said you do, and that's what should be done.
And you did, and why it didn't make it to the minutes, I have no idea.
But
why.
It appears that this one has never been voted on, and yet the check was released.
It had to have been voted on, Chuck, or that document you have in your hand would not be signed by your office and the clerk's office. That means it was voted on.
But if it was voted on, it would be in our minutes. We don't...
I have no control over the minutes.
There had to be a meeting. There had to be a vote.
Yes, there did. There was.
Or it was released without a vote. And that's what I suspect is that this one was released. I think Danny had to ask it to be held, just like we've done so many times. And it was released without a vote.
Well, if it was dropped back in accounts payable and approved during those accounts payable, then it wouldn't show an individual vote.
Then it would be in your check register, right, Helen?
We put it in one check register. We put it in the register that is that you're voted to hold on. It never goes back into another check register.
This issue was brought up, and it's very significant because there was a court decision about... Mr. Williams had to be contacted about whether she was to be paid mileage, which I think this check pertained to, or whether the amount of money that was to be held was considered as her mileage. And that was the big controversial issue, and the judge issued an opinion. And I guess that in itself probably... threw it back in accounts payable where it was approved or it couldn't be attested to by the
commission and the clerk.
Well, yeah.
This wasn't on our agenda. I would request that we address this issue because when you say that it only goes in the check register once, then that doesn't seem like a very good policy because we say hold the check out, and then if there's never a vote taken to pay that bill, it seems like all those that we've been holding out are kind of loose. That's kind of a loose process.
There is a vote to pay the bill. It may not be in an accounts payable. It may not be in a Monday morning meeting. It may not be, but there is always a vote before your office stamps this form here.
But when you say we have a vote, we don't vote outside of a meeting, and it would be registered. And I can remember some IDA things that have, I believe, went back into accounts payable at a later time, and we voted on them then. I can remember asking that we withhold a certain invoice or two because I wasn't in favor of it, and we voted on it. So I think we need to look at this. I think we got kind of a loose deal here.
Okay.
We've got some other folks wanting to use our room, so I'd suggest we.
I'm going
to
get
Do we want to go into executive?
No, I'm going to wait until Monday to go into that.
It's on Monday. I mean, okay. I don't know what else I would say. So
yeah.
You didn't say when too, so you've tabled it. You can take it up Monday.
Very good. All right, we'll recess then.
Thank you.
Thank you.